Book 2. Witwatersrand. Chapter 1. They turned north from Peter Marriottsburg and climbed steadily up across bleak grassland towards the mountains. On the third day they saw the Drakensberg, jagged and black as the teeth of an ancient shark along the skyline. It was cold. Wrapped in his karos, Embi Janey trailed far behind Sean. They had exchanged perhaps 24 words since they left Peter Marriottsburg, for Sean had his thoughts and they were evil company. Embi Janey was keeping discreetly out of his way. Embi Janey felt no resentment, for a man who had just left his home and his cattle was entitled to brood. Embi Janey was with sadness himself. He had left a fat woman in his bed to follow Sean. Embi Janey unplugged his small gourd snuff box, picked a pinch, and sniffed it delicately. He looked up at the mountains. The snows upon them were turning pink in the sunset, and in a little while now they would make camp. And then again perhaps they would not. It made no difference. Sean rode on after dark. The road crossed another fold in the veldt, and they saw the lights in the valley below. Dundee, Sean thought, without interest. He made no effort to hasten his horse, but let it amble down towards the town. Now he could smell the smoke from the coal mine, tarry and thick in the back of his throat. They entered the main street. The town seemed deserted in the cold. Sean did not intend stopping. He would camp on the far side. But when he reached the hotel, he hesitated. There was warmth in there, and laughter, and the sound of men's voices, and he was suddenly aware that his fingers were stiff with cold. "Embi Janey, take my horse. Find a place to camp beyond the town, and make a fire so I won't miss you in the dark." Sean climbed down and walked into the bar. The room was full, miners, most of them. He could see the grey coal dust etched into their skins. They looked at him incuriously as he crossed to the counter and ordered a brandy. He drank it slowly, making no attempt to join the loud talk around him. The drunk was a short man, but built like Table Mountain, low, square and solid. He had to stand on tiptoe to put his arm around Sean's neck.
"Have a drink with me, boity."
His breath smelt sour and old. "No thanks." Sean was in no mood for drunks.
"Come on, come on," the drunk insisted.
He staggered and Sean's drink slopped onto the counter.
"Leave me alone."
Sean shrugged the arm away.
"You got something against me?"
"No, I just feel like drinking alone."
"You don't like my face, maybe?"
The drunk held it close to Sean's. Sean didn't like it.
"Push off, there's a good fellow."
The drunk slapped the counter.
"Charlie, give this big ape a drink. Make it a double. If he don't drink it, I'll ram it down his throat."
Sean ignored the proffered glass. He swallowed what remained in his own and turned for the door. The drunk threw the brandy in his face. The spirit burnt his eyes, and he hit the man on the stomach. As his head came down, Sean hit him again in the face. The drunk spun sideways, fell, and lay bleeding from his nose.
"What you hit him for?"
Another miner was helping the drunk into a sitting position.
"It wouldn't cost you nothing to have a drink with him."
Sean felt the hostility in the room. He was the outsider.
"This boy's looking for trouble." "He's a tough monkey. We know how to handle tough monkeys. Come on, let's sort this bastard out."
Sean had hit the man as a reflex action. He was sorry now, but his guilt evaporated as he saw them gathering against him. Gone, too, was his mood of depression, and in its place was a sense of relief. This was what he needed. There were six of them moving in on him in a pack. Six was a fairly well-rounded number. One of them had a bottle in his hand, and Sean started to smile. They were talking loudly, spreading courage, and waiting for one of their fellows to start it. Sean saw movement out of the side of his eye and jumped back to cover it with his hands ready.
"Steady on there,"
a very English voice soothed him. "I've come to offer my services. It seems to me you have adversaries and to spare." The speaker had stood up from one of the tables behind Sean. He was tall and with a gauntly ravaged face and an immaculate grey suit.
"I want them all," said Sean. "Damned unsporting."
The newcomer shook his head.
"I'll buy the two gentlemen on the left, if your price is reasonable."
"Take two as a gift, and consider yourself lucky."
Sean grinned at him, and the man grinned back. They had almost forgotten the impending action in the pleasure of meeting.
"Very decent of you. May I introduce myself? Dufford Charlie Wood."
He shifted the light cane into his left hand and extended his right to Sean.
"Sean Courtney."
Sean accepted the hand.
"Are you bastards going to fight or what?"
protested one of the miners impatiently.
"We are, dear boy, we are,"
said Duff, and moved lightly as a dancer towards him, swinging the cane. Thin as it was, it made a sound like a well-hit baseball along the man's head.
"Then there are five," said Duff.
He flicked the cane and, weighted with lead, it made a most satisfactory swish. Like a swordsman, he lunged into the throat of the second miner. The man lay on the floor and made a strangling noise.
"The rest are yours, Mr. Courtney," said Duff, regretfully.
Sean dived in low, spreading his arms to scoop up all four pairs of legs at once. He sat up in the pile of bodies and started punching and kicking.
"Messy, very messy," murmured Duff disapprovingly.
The yelps and thuds gradually petered into silence, and Sean stood up. His lip was bleeding, and the lapel was torn off his jacket.
"Drink?" asked Duff.
"Brandy, please."
Sean smiled at the elegant figure against the bar.
"I won't refuse another drink this evening."
They took the glasses to Duff's table, stepping over the bodies as they went.
"Mud in your eye. Down the old red lane."
Then they studied each other with frank interest, ignoring the clearing-up operations being conducted around them.
"Are you travelling?" asked Duff.
"Yes.
Are you?"
"No such luck. I'm in the permanent employ of Dundee Collieries Limited."
"You work here?"
Sean looked incredulous, for Duff was a peacock among pigeons.
"Assistant engineer," nodded Duff. "But not for long. The taste of coal dust sticks in my craw."
"May I suggest something to wash it out?"
"Splendid idea," agreed Duff.
Sean brought the drinks to the table.
"Where are you headed?" asked Duff.
"I was facing north when I started," shrugged Sean. "I just kept going that way."
"Where did you start from?"
"South,"
Sean answered abruptly.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to pry."
Duff smiled. "Yours is brandy, isn't it?" The barman came round from behind the counter and crossed to their table.
"Hello, Charlie," Duff greeted him. "I take it you require compensation for the damage to your fittings and furniture."
"Don't worry about it, Mr. Charlie Wood. Not often we have a good barney like that. We don't mind the odd table and chair, as long as it's worth watching.
Have it on the house."
"That's extremely good of you."
"That's not what I came across for, Mr. Charlie Wood.
I got something I'd like you to take a look at. You being a mining chap and all. Could you spare a minute, sir?
Come on, Sean, let's see what Charlie's got for us.
My guess is it's a beautiful woman. It's not actually, sir,
said Charlie seriously, and led the way through into the back room. Charlie reached up and took a lump of rock down from one of the shelves. He held it out to Duff.
What do you make of that?
Duff took it and weighed it in his hand, then peered closely at it. It was glassy grey, blotched with white and dark red, and divided by a broad black stripe.
Some sort of conglomerate, Duff spoke without enthusiasm.
What's the mystery?
Friend of mine brought it down from Kruger's Republic, on the other side of the mountains. He says it's gold-bearing. They've made a big strike at a place called Witwatersrand, just outside Pretoria. Of course, I don't put much store by these rumours, because you hear them all the time. Diamonds and gold, gold and diamonds.
Charlie laughed and wiped his hands on his apron.
Anyway, my friend says the Boers are selling mining licences to them as want to dig for the stuff. Thought I'd just get you to have a look.
I'll take this with me, Charlie, and pan it in the morning. Right now, my friend and I are drinking.